are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Victory Friday, everybody. The Timberwolves defeated the Golden State Warriors on Thursday night, gave the Wolves their third win in the last five games, their first home winning streak of the season at two games. Believe it or not, the Wolves had not won consecutive home games until now, January 2nd in this season. Pretty crazy. Pretty unbelievable that a team that, you know, they won 36 games last year. It's not like they were a terrible team. And even this year, I mean, they're 13-21, not good. But at some point, you'd think they would have won two straight home games. But nope, first time of the year. And after a tough but hard-fought loss on Wednesday in Milwaukee, the Wolves brought it again on Thursday, played really hard in the second night of a back-to-back, and they won with relative ease. So we're going to get into that game today. We're going to recap the high points, talk about what went well and what didn't for Ryan Saunders' crew, and then we'll talk individual studs and duds, as we always do, from this game against the Warriors. And then finally, we'll get into a brief preview for the Wolves' next game, which is Sunday evening in Cleveland. So they'll get a couple of days off to hopefully get a couple of these guys healthy. Although I will say, as hard as the Timberwolves have played, I think it's and I guess this is definitely a little bit of recency bias, but it certainly feels like the past two games are the hardest the Wolves have played in consecutive games all season. And there's nothing to complain about when there's a 2-point road loss to the league's best team, followed by a 15-point home win, granted to another poor team, but still on the second night of a back-to-back and beating anybody by 15 when you're struggling like the Wolves have. I mean, Saunders has them playing hard. This particular group of about 10 guys is really competing, and that obviously matters. So let's go ahead and get into some of the nuts and bolts from this game. Obviously, there's been tons of injuries and tons of players missing, and that's the case for both teams in this game. I should point out the Warriors were without D'Angelo Russell, and of course Russell played last week when the Wolves lost in Golden State. Also, Willie Cauley-Stein was out due to illness. Kevon Looney was out again due to an abdominal injury. And of course, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were already out. So the Warriors were missing a few rotation guys and their best player in D'Angelo Russell. The Wolves, of course, still didn't have Karl Anthony Towns due to his knee sprain. Wiggins missed his fourth consecutive game with flu-like symptoms. He's been out for a week now, which is interesting. I wonder if perhaps it's not flu-like symptoms anymore. Maybe he just has the flu, but who knows? Trevion Graham also flu-like symptoms, out again. Jeff Teague missed his second straight game with a right knee sprain. He had been doubtful heading into the game. Jake Layman, of course, has been out now for like 4 weeks. And Noah Vonleh did not play for the third straight game as well. The Timberwolves did recall Jordan McLaughlin, who did not play in Milwaukee, but was on the team for Thursday night's game, and he did play a little bit in this one. So lots of guys missing. So it's a little bit of a war of attrition, but the Wolves, again, I mean, in a game like that, it's the team that plays harder primarily is who's going to win. The Wolves had a great first quarter. They scored 34 points in the first frame, held the Warriors to 19. So had a 15-point lead after the first quarter, and obviously that ended up being the final margin. But the Wolves came out of the gate really strong. They shot the ball well. Shabazz Napier was super aggressive early. The Wolves were finding shots for Robert Covington. The very first play that they ran was a shot that was obviously designed to get Covington a shot. He actually airballed a corner three, which wasn't a great omen, but then he ended up having his best game in recent memory. And we'll get more into Roko's performance here in a little bit. But early on, the Wolves made a concerted effort to get Covington the ball, to let Napier be aggressive once again. And Keelan Martin was great in the first quarter. He hit a couple of open shots. He was aggressive on the glass, ended up having a really good game overall. And the Wolves, again, were just the aggressors. They were getting to the free throw line. They got into the bonus pretty early in the first quarter. They actually didn't shoot the ball well from the free throw line, or really from anywhere. But again, it was their ability to play hard. And the biggest thing that they did in this game, outside of get out in transition, because they did a good job there, but rebounding the ball was huge. The Wolves had 52 rebounds on the night compared to 43 for the Warriors. Offensive rebounding, the Wolves had 17 offensive rebounds in this game. They were led by Culver, had four. Jordan Bell only played 5 minutes, but he had three offensive rebounds. They had a bunch of guys with two offensive rebounds in this game. So rebounding was key for this victory. As the game went on, the Warriors fought back a little bit. They didn't really have anybody that stood out from an offensive perspective. Glenn Robinson III led the team with 16 points on 7 of 14 shooting. He kind of helped. I mean, the Warriors hung around. The Wolves were up 17 at halftime, but then they had a third quarter push, outscored the Wolves in the third quarter, got within 14 at the start of the fourth quarter, and actually got the Wolves' lead down to 10 pretty early in the fourth, and it kind of hung around 10, and then finally the Warriors got it to 8 with, I think, like 6 minutes to play. And then Shabazz Napier came back in the game. Jordan McLaughlin had been on the floor for most of that extended, wasn't really a run by the Warriors, but extended push that kind of whittled the lead down. And then once Napier reentered the game, things stabilized and the Wolves pushed their lead back up to double figures, and the Warriors couldn't score for the last few minutes of the game. In fact, the final score was reached with like 2 minutes left. There wasn't much that happened in the final couple of minutes as both teams kind of mailed it in there in the final moments. So overall, rebounding was the biggest thing for the Wolves. If you look at their shooting percentages, it was brutal. They shot 40% from the floor, 30% from three, 13 of 43, and 59% from the free throw line, 10 of 17. So none of the shooting numbers looked good, and the Wolves only had 99 points. It was only the second time they've won all season. I got this stat from the ESPN game story, actually. The second time all season that the Wolves won a game while scoring less than 110 points, which says a lot about, I guess, the consistency of their defense and also that their offense has been potent at times too. Remember, the Wolves were 10-8 at one point. I know it feels like ages ago, but that tells you that the offense was really potent early in the season, even if it was inconsistent. But rebounding, that we already mentioned, was the biggest thing in this game. Also forcing turnovers. The Warriors turned the ball over 16 times. The Wolves only had a couple guys that had two or more steals, Covington and Napier. But also avoiding turnovers. The Wolves only had 12 turnovers in the game. And the bench unit played well again. And we'll get into studs and duds here in just a minute. But an all-around solid win from the Wolves, focusing on how strong their effort was in a game that effort was going to be the deciding factor between two teams struggling, two teams missing their stars, as well as key rotation players. So kudos to Ryan Saunders for getting his players up for yet another game. And really, the Wolves are clearly starting to stabilize now, going winning three of their last five games, two of their last three, two consecutive home games, and the schedule in the very near future isn't all that difficult. So one wonders if the Wolves will let Towns, Wiggins obviously was just sick, so hopefully he's back pretty soon, but let Towns kind of get back into playing shape if he is close. I mean, he was questionable heading into Thursday's game, so one would think he's closer. Let him get right. Let him get back into playing shape. Let him practice. The Wolves have two consecutive off days now. And, maybe don't play him against Cleveland on Sunday. Maybe don't play him against Memphis next week. Give him another few days and then bring him back healthy with hopefully the Wolves, if they win the next couple, they'd be 15-21. And then make a push. See if they can get back into the conversation for the 8 seed. They're not far out of that conversation as we sit right now. All right, we're going to go ahead and get into studs and duds next. This was a game the last couple, I've had to kind of limit myself to a couple of studs because the Wolves have just had everybody's been decent and nobody was really standing out. This time around, there were two clear best players for the Wolves, and it was the two veterans in the starting lineup that you would expect to see that from. Really, the only two veterans on the team. It's actually kind of crazy. If you look at the 10 guys, or I guess 11 guys in this game, since McLaughlin is back with the team, the 11 guys who played for the Wolves, Robert Covington, Gorgui Dieng, Shabazz Napier are the only guys on the floor who have more than 2 years of NBA experience heading into the season. And Jordan Bell is the only guy that has more than one. The Wolves are playing how many rookies? Jarrett Culver, Keelan Martin, Naz Reid, Jordan McLaughlin, Jalen Noel. So five of the 11 guys playing in this game for the Wolves, and four of the 10 on the previous night in Milwaukee on Wednesday, are rookies. And then you add in Kata Bates-Diop as a second-year player, Josh Okogie's a second-year player, and it's just incredible what the Wolves are have been doing the last couple of nights with just young guys. But all that to say, the two best players on the floor from start to finish were Shabazz Napier and Robert Covington, and they were head and shoulders the best players on the floor total for the game between either team. Napier was aggressive early. He was very good in the fourth quarter, was a little quieter in the middle stages of the game. He had 20 points, 7 assists. He shot 7 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, 4 of 6 from the free throw line, had a couple of steals, 3 rebounds, did turn the ball over 4 times, but was really, really good. He did not have to contend with D'Angelo Russell, which helps a lot. And basically, I mean, the Warriors didn't have a backcourt really in this game. I mean, Damian Lee had 10 points, shot 4 of 11 from the field, was not effective. Alec Burks, after scoring, I think he had 25 last week against the Wolves, he only attempted 5 shots in this game, was 3 of 5, 7 points in just 22 minutes. The Warriors kind of evenly spread their minutes out. Everybody, 9 of the 10 guys that plays for the Warriors played more than 20 minutes in this game, and nobody played more than 31. So just kind of the Warriors just kind of spread their minutes around, and they were good with that, and so were the Wolves. The Wolves didn't have to deal with heavy minutes for Alec Burks. Glenn Robinson only played 31 minutes. Draymond Green only played 22 minutes. So I think this was one that Steve Kerr was more than happy to evenly distribute minutes and let some guys take a breather. But all that to say, Napier didn't have to do much on defense, but he was still good there. He had a couple of steals, and he was solid against Damian Lee. Robert Covington on the night, 20 points, 8 of 15 shooting. He, after only shooting the ball 4 times in Milwaukee on Wednesday, which was rather inexplicable, he squeezed the trigger 15 times, 4 of 11 beyond the arc. The Wolves will take that. He had 20 and 10, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 0 turnovers, a plus 16 in 30 minutes in a game the Wolves won by 15. So just a great all-around performance from Rocco. He had a couple of big threes, actually, in the fourth quarter, and was just solid throughout. Was a stabilizing force on both ends of the floor, exactly what the Wolves need to see from him. This is the type of Rocco game. I think we've said this maybe 4 times this year, where he's had just like a really good game, which is, what Wolves fans expected. He was expected to be the second best team on the Wolves heading into the season, but clearly was not all the way back, and probably still isn't from his knee surgery last spring. So we'll see if this is play that Covington can continue to keep up. This is the sort of play that would make him the second or third best player on the Wolves, and would help this team solidify themselves in the race for the 7 or 8 seed in the West. So just a really great performance from him. Great performance from Napier. If I'm going to pick another player for the studs category, it would probably be Naz Reid. He had 13 and 6 in 20 minutes. So again, really strong. And once again, it was an awesome first half. He hit all 3 of his 3-pointers in the first half. He also had an assist and a block, only 1 turnover in 20 minutes. 3 of 6 beyond the arc, was a plus 2 in the plus minus column. Just really active. He showed that he was much better in the paint in this game than his last couple of times out. Had a couple of tough rebounds, had 2 offensive rebounds. And just, again, really solid. And the Wolves had a bunch of other guys who really contributed. Kata Bates-Diop had 9 and 4 in 20 minutes. Josh Okogie was very good. 7, 5, and 3 assists, plus a steal and a block in 21 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor. Nobody really had an awful game. The quick look at the box score tells you, Jordan McLaughlin was 0 for 4 and in 15 minutes. Jalen Noel was 0 for 4 in 6 minutes of play. But neither of those guys played awful. I guess if you had to pick a dud, it would be Noel, if he's going to shoot the ball 4 times in 6 minutes and not make one. McLaughlin, even though he was 0 for 4 and had a minus 8 in a game the Wolves won by 15, the Warriors made their run with him on the floor instead of Napier. He had 4 assists to 1 turnover, had a steal, had a couple of really nice passes for assists. So he was fine. I mean, it's what you would expect from your two-way guy who's effectively your fourth point guard, if you include Jeff Teague, who's hurt, Napier, who started, and Jarrett Culver, who also started but has played a lot basically at the point this year. So, it wasn't awful. It wasn't as bad as his first couple games of the season, but it also wasn't as good as last week when he played against the Warriors. So, decent game from McLaughlin. I guess if I'm going to pick duds, I would still probably pick him and Jalen Noel as my two as my two duds, as they combined to shoot 0-for-8 from the field for the game. But overall, a strong performance from the Wolves. Again, competing, playing hard, that's enough when you're playing a bottom feeder team such as Golden State. But it's also what you need to do on the second night of a back-to-back. And this is the sort of thing, Gorgui Dieng had a quote the other day, I think it was following Monday, the win on Monday, at home against Brooklyn, when he said that basically this unit's been playing hard, and hopefully the guys who are hurt and ill and have been out see that and play hard when they come back. Not sure if he's referring to Towns or Wiggins or both or what the deal was, but clearly he wanted to send a message that, look, guys, we're doing okay without you. Come back and play hard, and we could be really good. We could be as good as we were at the start of the season. We could be a above 500 team that squeaks into the playoffs at this point, even still, if we play hard and play smart like we did at the in the early stages of the season. So hopefully that message lands. Hopefully the Wolves get Towns and Wiggins and eventually Jake Layman and all those guys back and can continue to play hard, because that, again, that matters a lot. And in a crowded, you know, 8 through 12 in the Western Conference, all teams that are going to be battling for that final spot and battling for the right to likely lose to the Lakers in four or five games in the first round. Playing hard is going to separate some of those teams down the stretch, and also health. And that's the other thing that the Wolves need to improve is get some of those guys back. But strong signs in terms of the near future for the Wolves, especially with a relatively easy schedule coming up. All right, lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about Cleveland, Minnesota on Sunday. Let's go ahead and get into that preview next. The Wolves have just started a weird stretch where they're kind of alternating one or two home games with one or two road games for quite some time now. So they head back out on the road. They were at Milwaukee Wednesday, home Thursday. Now they get 2 days off, which is nice, and then head to Cleveland for a Sunday game. The Cavs are playing the Thunder on Saturday, so they'll be on a back-to-back on Sunday against the Wolves. So that's a positive. Both games are at home for Cleveland, so at least they won't have to travel. But consecutive games for the Cavs, while the Wolves will be sitting at home waiting for this matchup against the Cavs. Cleveland is healthy. The last time around, the Cavs didn't play Kevin Love. It was the second night of a back-to-back on that night for them too. So that's actually kind of weird. The Wolves are playing the Cavs twice in 8 days, and both games for the Cavs will be the second night of a back-to-back. But the Wolves lost, of course, last Saturday, even though Kevin Love didn't play due to load management. Love did play in the Cavs game last night. One would expect him to play in this game against the Wolves, although then again, it's the second half of a back-to-back. So that said, who knows? He sat out the last one. Maybe he'll sit out the first half against the Thunder to give him a couple consecutive nights off. So who knows whether or not Love will play, but there aren't any other significant injuries for the Cavs. Rookie Dylan Windler hasn't played yet. He's the only one that's listed on their injury report. Everybody else has been playing. Last time around against the Wolves, the Cavs won by 6, and the Wolves didn't get much from the guys that they rely on. That was the game that Napier went 3 of 17. In the three games since then, Napier's been awesome, so don't expect him to go 3 of 17 again. Covington was just 5 of 13, 14 points in that game. The best players for the Wolves were Keelan Martin off the bench with 17 and 6, and Jeff Teague with 18 points, 4 assists. Of course, Teague's been out the last two games, so obviously no idea what his status is going to be at this point for Sunday, but the Wolves, it was almost kind of an inverse of the players who have been playing the best over the last three games. Noah Vonleh had 8 and 9 in that game. He's been hurt. Teague, as mentioned, had 18 and 4. He's been hurt. Josh Okogie was 0-for-7 shooting. He's been very good the last couple of times out. So it's almost like the roles kind of flipped, and everybody that had been struggling is now playing better. And the guys who played well in that game are hurt now. So, clearly, these two teams are going to look pretty different, and even though the games are just 8 days apart, Cleveland, since playing the Wolves, has lost at Toronto by 20 and then just had a 3-point home loss to the Hornets. Kevin Love did play in that game. He's had a decent season so far. He had 18 and 8 and 4 assists in 31 minutes. Colin Sexton has been coming on a little bit lately, had 21 points in that game. Darius Garland was good as well. They got basically nothing out of their bench. So again, same thing as we said last time the Wolves faced the Cavs, expect some high usage, high volume scoring out of the backcourt, the young guards, Sexton and Garland, and then also Kevin Porter Jr. off the bench for the Cavs. The Wolves have done a really good job the last couple of nights of limiting opposing guards from doing damage, and that's what they need to do against Cleveland. Love's going to get his, similar, but of course very different to the game plan against Milwaukee. Let the clear best player on the other team do his thing. Just try and keep him from going off. And then really just do your best to stay home on the shooters on the perimeter and keep those guys from getting into the paint for easy buckets. And the Wolves perimeter defenders have been quite good the last couple of nights. Covington's been great. Napier's even been good defensively. So if the Wolves can do that and you know, just kind of shore up the perimeter defense and continue to rebound the ball well, then they'll have they should win this game on two nights rest, the Cavs on a back-to-back. There's really no reason that the Wolves shouldn't be able to keep playing hard and emerge from this game victorious. Last time around when these two teams matched up, the Cavs out-rebounded the Wolves by a 60-40 margin, and they grabbed 14 offensive rebounds. So that is going to be a huge key in this game. They're going to need Gorgui Dieng to come to play, especially if Kevin Love plays. I mean, think about that. Kevin Love didn't even play. Tristan Thompson had 15 rebounds. Larry Nance Jr. and John Henson each had 9 rebounds. The Cavs out-rebounded the Wolves by 20. But if Minnesota rebounds like they have the last couple nights against Milwaukee on Wednesday and in the game on Thursday night, then the Wolves should be just fine. So rebounding, keep down those high-volume scorers on the perimeter, make them take a ton of shots to get their points, and that's mostly Garland and Sexton. And then, you know, do your best on Kevin Love, but don't worry too much if he gets his, you know, 20 and 10 or 25 and 8 or whatever it is he's going to do. You know, and there's always a chance that Love's back too. I would imagine he'll be listed as questionable after a couple of days off. Excuse me, not Love, Towns. So keep your fingers crossed that the Wolves will start to get healthy. This would be a good game to get a couple guys back and get their feet wet in a winnable road game before heading back home in the middle part of next week. Let's take a quick peek ahead at the schedule. So Cleveland, at Cleveland on Sunday, and then returning home the Memphis game is also on the road on Tuesday. So a two-game road trip, Cleveland to Memphis, home for Portland, who that game is less daunting than it has been in recent years. The Wolves actually competed pretty well in Portland without Towns a couple of weeks ago, just prior to Christmas. They only lost by 7 at Portland. And then at Houston, home for Oklahoma City and Indiana, at Indiana, home for Toronto, Denver. So it gets real tough after these next three games with basically the next, like, six teams on the schedule, likely playoff teams. So winning at Cleveland and Memphis and at home against Portland would be huge. If the Wolves could at least win two out of those three and feel good about themselves heading into a brutal stretch in mid to late January, then I think everybody would feel like the Wolves are in a pretty good spot, especially if Towns can come back healthy. Looking at the standings in the Western Conference, as crazy as this sounds, the Wolves are only a game and a half out of the number 8 seed. They're tied with Phoenix and only a half game behind Portland. So that game against Portland, they're down 1-0 in the season series, is going to be huge. And then facing off against San Antonio here pretty soon, they're only a game and a half behind them for the 8 seed. Oklahoma City's kind of separated themselves. They're 19-15, and they're 4.5 games above the Spurs for the 7 seed in the West. I don't know whether or not that's going to stick. They don't have a ton of depth, so if they run into much in the way of injuries here in the next, you know, few weeks, they certainly could still stumble. I think they're still a very clear top 6. The Lakers through the Jazz, and then after that, the Thunder are likely to get the 7 seed at this point, but anything could happen. And then there's still 6 teams battling for that 8 seed. San Antonio, Portland are ahead of the Wolves. Phoenix is tied with the Wolves. The Kings and Grizzlies are only a half game back from Minnesota in that Western Conference race for the 8 seed. All right, we'll be back Monday morning with a recap of the Cavs game. There's only one game between now and then, so we'll recap the Cavs game. We'll look ahead to Tuesday in Memphis a little bit and talk about any other news that comes up over the weekend that's Wolves-related. Until then, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.